bronze up the fire. Lift up the bronze gospel and let us read verse 38. 30 in the season, note the negatives in these verses we're going to read. Verse 1, he says, and ye have not his word abiding in you. Ye have not. For whom he hath sent him, ye believe not. So they believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not, that's the third one, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not, the fourth one, ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. There's the fifth one. Ye receive me not. Another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not, there's the sixth one, seek not the honor that cometh from God only. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not, the seventh son, if ye believe not his writing, how shall ye believe my word? My text this morning is the 40th verse, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I trust that you'll think on these other negatives we mentioned there, the things that they would not do. And the Lord Jesus is speaking to scribes and Pharisees, religious leaders, and with all their boasted claims to religion, he is reminding them that they did not have the love of God in them, and they would not accept his word, they would not trust the scriptures, and they did not have the love of God in them, they would not come to him that they might have life. Reminds you of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in speaking concerning Jerusalem. He said, how often would I have gathered thee together as a hen that gather her brood under her wings, but ye would not. There are three expressions in the New Testament, very important. One is past, the other is present, the other is future. He said ye would not. This text says, ye will not. This is the present. In the future, ye cannot. These are solemn. He says he will not come to me that he might have life. Now, in reference to Jerusalem, that present has passed. He said, how often I would have gathered thee together, as a hen gathered her brood under her wings, but ye would not. You had your chance, and you missed it. Very significant how he adopts the characteristic of a mother hen. A mother hen is concerned about her little one, and she calls them. The mother hen is so concerned, she's always looking around. If you watch the mother hen with her little bitty, she's got her head in the air, and she's looking this way and that way. She's looking for an approaching danger. She's not only looking, she's listening for anything that might endanger her little brood. There's the mother hen. She's always on the lookout. She has a great concern for the safety of her little ones. The Lord Jesus said that was true of me concerning you and Jerusalem in particular. I see an enemy approaching, and it's a hateful enemy. And I know what's going to happen to this city if that enemy proceeds and carries out its desire. That is, the Roman armies are going to destroy this city. I see the enemy approaching. I'm concerned about this city. And I warned him, you departed. And the mother hen, she calls the little ones to rest. When she thinks they've been running around enough, she calls them. And they detect that peculiar call, and they come and they rest under the mother's wing. When she discovers food, she calls them. And they know that call too, and they come for the food. When she feels it's time for them to come for shelter and safety because a cat or a dog or something else is approaching, she utters another call, it's an alarm, on the little ones getting under her wings, and those who can't get under will hide under her shrubs or something. Such is the picture the Son of God describes of himself concerning Jerusalem. How often would I have gathered thee as a hen gathered her brood under her wings, but ye would not. And you remember what some of them said to him concerning Herod? They said, why don't you get out of here? Herod will seek thy life. He'll kill me. Christ says, you go and tell that fox. I do cure it today, and I walk today, and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. For it cannot be that a prophet will perish out of Jerusalem. He likened Herod, who represented the Roman government, unto a fox. And foxes like little chicks. And Herod. He says, you go and tell that crafty fox, I've got a work to do, and I'll do all I can to protect these little ditties. If they'll only trust in me, if they'll only listen to me, I'll take care of that fox. You go and tell them. How sad the Israel, and that very people for whom he prayed, and offered his services to shelter them and give them rest and food in Palestine. They said, away with this man, will not have the rain over us. And instead of accepting him and placing upon his head the diadem of David, they gave him a crown upon. And that fox, under Titus, the Roman army ravaged Jerusalem 40 years after Jesus Christ made this remark. The city was ripped and ravaged and destroyed. There wasn't one stone left upon another. What he said would happen here. He warned, but they wouldn't pay any attention to his warning. Not history was fulfilled, and he takes upon them. He said, I would have gathered. I wanted, but you would not. Oh, how many there are today, and that's true of them. The Lord has to reflect upon them, and he said, I would, but you would. There'll be a many a one that has blessed. He'll say, I would have saved. I would have given you peace. I would have put away your sins. I would have given you everlasting life. But you would not. I did everything in my power to warn you. I called you to come for rest. I called you to come for food to your soul. I called you to come for shelter from the approaching judgment. But oh, he says you wouldn't do it. You paid no heed and thus Lord, the consequence. Think of the future one in Luke 16. Here's a man and he's in hell for this man. And here's Lazarus in the place of death. You know how the rich man begged that Abraham would send Lazarus with one drop of water to his home where he had five brethren, to warn them lest they come to this place of torment. Abraham says, no, there's a great gulf between us. None can come to us who would come from death. Those who are here cannot be there. They cannot. That's the heat. Meaning simply this, that as a tree falls, so shall it lie. As a tree lies, so shall it be. All throughout the earth. That's true of a man. as your final breath finds you, so you shall be. There's absolutely no subtle thing in the Bible in the seventh verse. You make your decision this side of death. How solemn, he says, you can. You would not. Now you can. There's no escape. The die is cast. The doom is set. Why all this? Because of my testimony. The threat, ye will not come to me. We're speaking in the terms of the present. I hope there's no one here this morning, and he's speaking of you in the terms of past tense, the days past. You've had your opportunity, you missed. You wouldn't have. You're still in the body, so it can't be true in the future tense. Where you're in a place where you can't get out. You'd like to go to heaven. Trouble with men, women is an odd text, and I want to emphasize it. He says, he will not come to me that he might have life. This is man's stubbornness, his rebellion. He will not come to me, he says. But I want you to notice the evidences he brings forth. He will not come to me, referring to himself. Think of the witnesses as to who this one is. First of all, at his birth, the angels testify. The angels are announced, that holy thing is to be born of thee, to be called the Son of God. Then he was born a multitude of heavenly hosts. Heaven's choir broke forth into song, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Angels testify as to who this one is. But then John the Baptist testifies. John the Baptist testifies to the deity of Jesus Christ in a threefold way. To the world, he says, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. In John 1:29. Then he's speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees. He speaks of Christ as a bridegroom. Why, this is the heavenly bridegroom has come for his bride, the church. I'm just a friend of the bridegroom. I rejoice because of the bridegroom's voice. And so to the world he testifies to Christ being the Lamb of God that careth away or taken away the sin of the world. To his scribes and Pharisees, he's the heavenly bridegroom. And then to his own. He says, I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose his shoelace. This is the Son of God. John's threefold testimony as to Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said, but I don't have to stop for the testimony of angels. I don't have to stop for the witness of John. I can refer to my work, and that's what he does. You'll notice in one of these verses, verse 36. He says, his works bear witness of him. And in John's Gospel here, he performs 7 miracles. How strange, the number 7, which is the number of perfection. And he performs 7 miracles in John's Gospel. The first one you're all familiar with. He turned the water into wine. The second one, in chapter 6, he raised the nobleman's son. He healed him when he was at the point of death. And then, the man of the pool of Bethesda in chapter 5. He fed 5,000 in chapter 6. That's his fourth miracle. He walked upon the sea in chapter 6. That's his fifth miracle. He opened the eyes of the blind man in chapter 9. That's his sixth. He raised Lazarus from the dead. That's the seventh miracle. And in John's Gospel, you see the Lord Jesus Christ testify, producing his credentials. I am the Son of God. I came from heaven. And he parades all these miracles before them. And he's still performing miracles. When he saves men and women, and he transforms them and he changes them into new creatures in Christ Jesus, oh, what evidence. that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Instead, I'll go further, I'll call my fourth witness to the witness stand. He said, my Father bears witness. He tells you that right here in verse 7:34. The angels bear witness of me. John the Baptist bears witness of me. And my works bear witness of me. And he says, my Father bears witness of me. Then he was being baptized, you remember, God's voice was heard, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Then on the Mount of Transfiguration again, God's voice was heard, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. John chapter 12, when Jesus Christ said, Father, glorify thy name, God says, I have glorified it, I will glorify it again, and again God bears witness as to who this was. Then when God raised him from the dead, that was the greatest testimony God ever gave concerning his Son. Jesus Christ said it is finished on the cross, and God's amen was who raised him from the dead, his work was done. He says, my Father bears witness of me. He says, I'll tell you something else, the scriptures bear witness. He tells you that in verse 35 or 39. Search the scriptures, for in them he thinks he had eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. He says, the Bible, the scriptures, bear testimony of me. All the scriptures, all speak of Christ. In Luke 24, he opened unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And in verse 46 here, for had he believed Moses, he would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Christ says, these are the scriptures speak of me. From Genesis to Revelation, they testify of me. Not only so, but the types in the Old Testament speak of him. The ark that saved the people from the flood. Jesus Christ associates himself with that ark as a place of refuge. You remember the Passover lamb that was slain in the 12th of Exodus? His blood shed and his blood sprinkled on the seaside, close to the upper lintel. God says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you and the destroying angel cannot kill you. That same blood of that land poured onward to the blood of Christ, that Jesus Christ said, I am the Passover that will sacrifice to you. And then that third type you have of the scapegoat. When all the sins of that nation were laid upon the scapegoat, how does it pass through an avenue of humanity? There the children of Israel looked because the priests had laid the sins, the Jewish priests had laid the sins of the nation upon that goat, and away it went out into the land of wild beasts to be devoured, which means their sins would never return. Jesus Christ says, that's what happened to your sins. My Father laid them on me at Calvary, and I took them into the sea. And for all who accept me, they will have the assurance of sins forgiven. Then you come to the serpent on the pole in Numbers 21. Even Jesus Christ in John 3:14 says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's another type that speaks to himself. Cities first in the cities of refuge. Those cities that God selected out of all other cities to which the one who would kill the person unawares and accidentally might flee and not be spared. Christ is the city of heaven. Then he speaks of the beautiful tabernacle where God dwelt on earth in Israel, Israel's day, when the presence of God with the kind of glory dwells in that beautiful tabernacle. Jesus Christ says, my Father dwells with me. My body is the tabernacle of the Holy of Holies. God is in Christ. And that beautiful tabernacle and all its furniture speaks of the glory of Jesus Christ. Then again, he applied the manna to himself. He says, that manna that Moses gave the children of Israel, he said, that was all right temporarily, but their people died. And he says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eateth this bread, he shall live forever. And then again you have another type of Jesus Christ. And he points it to Jonah. He said, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, even so must the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Here is Jesus Christ mustering all the witnesses. He's parading them to the stand, that they might testify as to who he is. First of all, the angel. Second, John the Baptist. Third, his work. Fourth, his father. Now all the scriptures. Because the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, speak of the figures of Christ. The Psalms speak of the feelings of Christ, his sufferings on the cross. The prophets foretell Jesus Christ. And the Gospels give us the facts of Jesus Christ. The epistles give us the fruits of Jesus Christ. The church and all of us say the fruit of his suffering on the cross. And the book of Revelation gives us the fullness of the glory of Jesus Christ. The whole Bible from beginning to end is an embodied personality, and that personality is Jesus Christ. He says, I'm giving you all this evidence. And the sixth witness, the Spirit of God. He says, the Spirit of God, when he comes, he'll testify of me. And when Jesus Christ was baptized, the Spirit in the form of a dove settled upon him. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Then his own bear witness. He says, he shall be witnesses unto me. And Jesus Christ in his own day could parade all into his own unto the witness stand. And for 1900 centuries, unto this day, if you were to be able to address the whole world and say, who's a witness to the saving grace and keeping power of Jesus Christ, then there are millions of people who stand with us. There are millions of God's people who take the witness stand today and say, I witness to the teaching power of Jesus Christ. I witness to the fact you can save from sin and satisfy a human heart. And I believe there are many here this morning who will be glad to do it. And that's all I am this morning and behind this pulpit. I'm a witness to what Jesus Christ can do. When he laid hold of a rebellious young man at the age of 19, who had his sights set on this world, this fourth world. But I turned to Jesus Christ because I was under conviction. I was miserable and unhappy with all that I was in. And he did exactly what he said he would do. He saved me by his grace. He put a hatred in my heart that has never left. And he satisfied my every longing. I can sing now none but Christ can satisfy another name for me. This love, this life, this lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. Take the world, but give me Jesus, all its joys are but a name. But his love abideth ever through eternal years. This is the testimony of all who are really born again. Jesus Christ says, I can give you more than the testimony of my own. He says, I can bear witness of myself if I so desire. He tells them that. So he says, before Abraham was, I am. He gives us a nice, nice witness. But I want you to get this. Who are the nice witnesses? Because there are a group of the demons. He's calling on hail to witnesses of who he is. Even the demons. You may read all about it if you want to. And before we get to the demons, we could take up his earthly enemies. Think of his earthly enemies. He bore witness to it. Pilate, three times over, Pilate says, I find no fault in this man. What about you, Herod? They brought him to you. What have you got to say? Herod says, I have nothing to say about this man. I find nothing wrong with this man. That's what Herod said. What about you, Pilate's wife? He said, I've said with my husband, Hast thou now nothing to do with this black man, for I've suffered many things to say in the dream? He said to him, what about you, Judas? He told him, Judas said all those things. Well, tell me, I betrayed innocent blood. I'm going to commit suicide in this. He betrayed innocent blood. What about the people that talked and railed on first? He turned to his companion and said, we indeed justly that this man has done nothing. What about the centurion, the Roman soldier in charge of a company of 100? In charge of the execution as he predicted of Jesus Christ. What about all of the centurions today? I carried out orders in my body, but truly this is a righteous man. The testimony of the mercy in it. All of them, one after the other, parade to the witness stand. Pilate, Herod, Pilate's wife, Judas, the thief, the centurion, and even the soldiers who went to apprehend them. When they got to them, they came back without their prisoner. He said, level man, take like this man. So now let's go to hell. The spirit world. All people in this mighty had demons in them. And what do the demons say about Jesus Christ? In Matthew 8:29, in Mark 1:24, in Luke 5:28, you have demons testifying as to who Jesus Christ is. Undoubtedly they knew him as the eternal Son of God before his fall, before their fall, when they fell with Satan in the beginning. And Jesus Christ is with the Father in eternity past. Then Satan, Lucifer, the Son of the Morning, led that revolt against the Almighty God. There were hordes of angels that went with him in his attempt to seize the power of the universe. And then Satan was hurled out of heaven for Jesus Christ that I saw Satan hurled. He fell from heaven. And these hordes of evil spirits sent to Satan. And then God put Adam and Eve on this planet. Satan said Christ on the human race. And the demons are going to enter every human being they possibly can. Before sin entered, they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. But after sin entered, man by disobedience opened the door of his mind and heart. And in comes these evil demons. These evil scriptures. There are people that they possess disease. Possess disease. What do these demons say? Here's one of them. He says, Jesus, thou son of God. Imagine a devil say. Another! Thou art the Holy One of God. Here is the demon speaking through the lips of a man. A man who is possessed. Another says, thou art the Son of the Most High God. Another says, the Son of God Most High. And when he spoke, they were all filled with fear. You remember when 2,000 swine went down a hill into the deep and perished in the water. The demons that entered into 2,000 swine were all in one man, showing you the power of the devil within that one man. When Jesus Christ commanded the spirit to get out of him, they went into 2,000 hogs and drove the hogs crazy and committed suicide. The demon said to those hogs what he was trying to do to that man. And the Lord said, healed him. He said, we know thee, who thou art. Jesus, thou Son of God, art thou come to destroy us before our time? Devils know that there is judgment coming. They said, are you come to destroy us before our time? They knew who is going to destroy us? Jesus Christ. We know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Art thou come to destroy us before our time? the day is coming when the demons are going to be punished, and Jesus Christ is the one who's going to pass sentence of execution as well. Here are demons witnessing unto who Jesus Christ is. You know, this to me is very solemn when you see the fear gripping these demons. Because over in James 2:19, you'll notice what it says. You say you believe in God. Well, that's nothing to boast about. The devils believe and tremble. The devils believe in God and they tremble. There are a lot of people today who say, oh yes, I believe in God. They don't tremble. Well, they don't. There are some of you here this morning, you're not born again. You've never been washed in the blood of Christ. You say, sure, I believe in God. You don't tremble about it. David says, I remember God and I was troubled. You're not a Christian, you have a right to tremble. I'll tell you that. Here are demons witnessing to the person of Jesus Christ. They knew he was the one who would execute their final judgment. Here is the Son of God. He has paraded all these witnesses. I've given you 10. I could add another. I could add the historian. Josephus, the greatest Jewish historian on record. He wrote that massive volume of some 1,200 pages. I have it in my library. He wasn't a Christian. He was a Jew. And yet he speaks in language, beautiful language, as he exalts Jesus Christ. He's one of the most authentic, most accurate, most fair historians on record. And he was a Jewish historian. And he speaks beautifully of the man Christ Jesus, and such a man had never been on the earth before. He was honest. He was pure. He was 100% a man. Yet the people wouldn't accept him as his savior. Yes, you can take that story. Since the 15th of the year, the carols. Mm-hmm. Oh yes, the carols. The world once again is being reminded of the birth of the Son of God. Does the truth of this birth speak into their hearts? Do they bow in worship at his blessed feet? Some of them celebrate his coming with a bottle of whiskey. They celebrate his coming in an unholy orgy. They throw a party. Then everything goes. All bars lift. And they plunge into a night of sin and vice and wickedness and shame. They celebrate the coming of the holy, spotless, sinless Son of God, who came to put away the very things they're doing, but they won't have. All history, the world of this time, is on the witness stand bearing testimony to the carol, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said, I've given you all these witnesses, and yet you will not come to me. What will man have to say? What excuse will he have to offer in that coming day when he meets this blessed one? And if he gets it, without excuse, he parades all these witnesses before you this morning, right from the first to the angel, then to John, then to the Word. He performed, then to his Father, then to the Scripture, then to the Spirit of God, then to his own people, then to his earthly enemy, his own witness, then to the demons, and to the voice of his official, the voice of his Lord. This is he, the Son of the living God. I'm going to tell you this. Every man and woman who's ever been born is going to witness to Jesus Christ They'll either do it in this life as Christians, or they'll do it in the next, when it will be the first step to their final doom. It says the word of God, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name, and at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. Every dreaming sin will eventually take the witness stand and testify Jesus is the Son of God, most high. He came to this world and gave his life to sinners and tells us to raise again in his knowledge. Let me tell you, it'll be someday when the infidels bow their knees. The atheists will bow their knees. The vile, most violent enemies of Jesus Christ, like the Italians and the Christians and the rest, they will bow their knees. They'll bow it just before the orders given. Take them. Bind them hand and foot. Cast them into out of fire that will be heaping and aiming and gnashing at them. But God says, I'll tell you one thing. Every created thing is going to bow the knee. Either they'll bow their knee in life and be saved and be in his presence and in his glory forever, or they'll bow the knee before they go to hell. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord, the glory of God the Father. He's the one. He says in our text, ye will not come to me. I've given you all the evidence in the world. I've given you proof positive. I am the Son of the living God. But you won't come. I want to say this, friend, if you don't come, you'll be to blame. I know some parents are to blame for their children not hearing the truth. I know some preachers are to blame for not preaching the truth. That's right enough. But in the final analysis, friend, let me tell you this, you're going to be to blame. I know some of your pals are standing in your pathway to your coming to Jesus Christ. You may put the fault of your being a non-Christian upon your parents, upon preachers, upon your pals. But in the final analysis, when you meet God, you get the blame. Because you've got an open Bible. No need for you not to know God's way of salvation. Remember, it's not adultery, it's not murder, as heinous and hateful as those crimes are. It's going to send the soul to hell. He says, ye will not come to me that ye might have life. It's because you will not come to Jesus Christ. That's it. Because all these other sins are the offspring of that one sin, rejecting Jesus Christ. He says he will not come. This puts the responsibility fairly upon the will of the individual, your will. Can you give me one reason why, a good reason why you're not a Christian this morning? Friend, you're a rebellion. You may be religious. You may be refined. You may be cultured. You may be educated. If you haven't as yet sent your will to the will of Jesus Christ, you will not come to Jesus Christ. He doesn't say you can't come. He says you will not. So it's up to you this morning. You will not come to me that you might have life, eternal life. Isn't that wonderful? He doesn't say you will not come to me that you might have death, that you might be punished. So he says, you won't come to me that you might have life. Abundant. You should come first for your own sake, then for the sake of your family. Oh, think of what he's trying to offer. He wants to give you life. Are you hungry? He says, I am the bread from heaven. Are you thirsty? He says, I am the living water. Are you in darkness? He says, I am the light. Are you in death? He says, I am the light. He says, are you in error? I have the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Are you burdened with your sin? He said, I lift the burden. Do you not know the way? He said, I am the way. I have the answer to everything. Yet you will not come to me that you might have life. How sad. That's why you're not a Christian this morning. You will not come to Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, why won't you come? Can you tell me one good reason why? Oh, there's every reason in the world why you should come. Come to this friend who's waiting now for thee. He'll be so kind, so loving, and so true. He'll break your bands from sin. He'll set you free. He'll be an everlasting friend to you. How true the words of that hymn we sang as children, as a friend for little children. Above the bright blue sky, a friend that never changes, whose love can never die. Unlike our friends by nature who change with changing years, this friend is always faithful. A second name. If you want something, little girlie ran at the house after visiting the funeral, attending the funeral of her second little playmate in the community. Only a little girl, and she ran to the home after the second funeral. Burst into tears as she clung to her mother, I'm so mother. I buried two of my little playmates. Can you tell me? Can you tell me of a friend that will never die? Mother said, yes, honey. I'll tell you of a friend who will never die. And he told the story of a friend for little children about the bright blue sky. A friend who never changes. His love will never die. That's the friend he presents to you this morning. Oh, will you not come to this friend? He says you will not come. What's keeping you away? What's keeping you in this? Your will. That's it. He's chasing his back room for that will. He's struggling for that will. The Spirit of God says it's that Christ. The devil says don't do this. The Spirit of God says confess Christ. The devil says not to this. He's going to live. He will not come to me. Christ, I've given you all the witnesses, all the evidences, all the proofs in the world. After who I am, what I've done, what I'll do today, what I'll do in the future. If you won't come to me, you might have left. Will you come? You will come right now, in your heart. Then come with me. This. Very good. Our Father in heaven, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come into thy presence. We give thee thanks for thy Son. We thank thee for thy word, the count of the sin. We thank thee for everyone who this morning. We say, thank God. I have this evening. I'm saved by grace, and I'm set by tomorrow. Do not say it, Mary. Remember those who haven't made the decision of yet. They do that this morning. They say that step and yield that their will to thy step. You trust it to be the case you chase again. Now, please,